This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is episode 5. Last episode, I spoke about our greatest need, which was not only to know Christ, but to be known by Christ. But how do we know Christ? In Scripture, there are several places where Christ bids us to come to him. For example, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, which reads, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There we see Jesus speaking those words, "Come to me." But this is not an invitation to come to the Lord, but it's an imperative, meaning it's a command. And yet, what sweet words those are to hear. That the Lord, who stands as judge, tells the sinner, the one who has committed the offense against the judge, he tells him to come to him in order that he may no longer stand as their judge, but as their justifier. But this Savior does not only say come, but to be yoked to him. This is what Jesus is getting at in verse 29 when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Those to whom Jesus was speaking would understand what this means, but for us today, it might not be so clear. So allow me to explain. Back then, in order to plow the fields, you had to place a yoke upon an ox so he could pull the plow behind him. Now, in order to train a younger ox to be able to perform the task, you would yoke him to an adult and mature, bigger, stronger oxen so that it would prevent the younger oxen from pulling off course. He would pull against that yoke, but he wasn't able to go anywhere. And it would remain yoked to the adult until it was ready to be on its own. This is what Jesus is getting at. He's saying, "Come to me and learn how to walk as I did." But it sounds simple enough. Just come to Jesus. And we hear that a lot in churches today. Just come to Jesus. But what does that actually mean? Well, it can mean several things. First, we are to behold the beauties and the magnificence of Christ. Those things that we read in the Scripture about who he is and what he has done, we are to lay hold of those things. Secondly, we are to repent of our sin. And third, we place our faith in what he has done on our behalf. Now, upon coming to Christ, where we once deserved justice, the penalty that is due to us for breaking the law of God, we are now justified, declared not guilty. For God sent Christ to be displayed publicly as the propitiation of sin, being just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's Romans 3, verses 21 through 26. This term, justified, means that you are looked at as though you have always obeyed the law of God. And you now have the righteousness of Christ credited to your account. It's been imputed to you. That's, if ever you hear the term, the imputed righteousness of Christ, it means the righteousness that Christ procured, that he obtained by fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law, it is now credited to you so that you are looked at as though you had always obeyed the law and are perfectly righteous. Now, when coming to Christ, our response is then to be yoked to him, to become like him. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we call sanctification, the progressing in holiness, or being conformed more and more into the image of Christ. But you may hear this and say, that all sounds wonderful. You may even be convicted in your soul, and you may feel the Holy Spirit calling you, saying, come to Christ. But you're hesitant. You're hesitant because you believe that you're not good enough to come to Christ, that you're not good enough to stand in his presence. Well, allow me to comfort you. You are absolutely correct. You are not good enough. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Now this is due to the sin of Adam. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Apart from Christ, all stand condemned. This is the teaching of total depravity. And yet, while we stood condemned to receive the righteous judgment from a holy God, through one man came eternal life. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 21, the Apostle Paul, he says, for since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For in verse 22, for as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So we are not good enough, but Christ was good for us. And he who calls us washes us, and he clothes us in the white robes of his righteousness. What good news this is. You may also be hesitant to come to Christ saying, yes, that does sound like good news, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know my life. He cannot wash me. My sin is too great. Allow me to comfort you once more. You are absolutely wrong. First, you doubt the sufficiency of Christ's atoning work on the cross, and you doubt the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you, to sanctify you and transform you more and more into the image of Christ. And yet, while you give this excuse, at the same time, you already feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But while you doubt the power of God, the Bible speaks of specific sins, yes, but mainly it speaks of sin in terms of categories. And I guarantee you, whatever sin you think cannot be washed away, it falls into one of those categories. And since it falls into one of those categories discussed in God's Word, you can take heart that you are not beyond the reach of Christ's redeeming love. Christ came for sinners. The only requirement to be saved, the only requirement to receive salvation, is that you be a sinner. So behold the beauties and the magnificence of Christ the Lord. Repent of your sin, whatever it may be. Turn from them and turn to Christ. Fix your gaze upon him and believe on him and all that he has done on your behalf. And you will be declared justified, not guilty, and clothed in the pure white linens of Christ's righteousness. Now I will leave you with these words from the hymn writer John Newton, who said in his old age, "I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior." For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.